Hello and welcome or welcome back. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. The conversation for today is focused around creating a coaching culture. Of course, the first thing we think about when we say creating a coaching culture is within an organization, a business, or a company. A coaching culture is also useful in our personal lives, in our communities, and in every place we function, interact with other people. Yes, our primary focus is within organizations, and let's talk about it. So first off, recognize coaching is still, unfortunately, often misunderstood. Sometimes you go into an organization and you say coach and they think about coaching an athlete and telling that person what to do. In many organizations, the term coach, mentor, and or consultant are often used interchangeably. And so there's a lack of clarity around what coaching is and how it's different. Very often there are organizations where people inside the organization are quote unquote providing coaching, again, without really understanding what it is. So how is coaching different? When you think about an HR professional, or you think about a leader or a manager in an organization, it is their job to provide information. They are the ones that do the talking. They're the ones that give advice, give the answers. They share their own experiences. They provide examples. And ultimately, they are seen as the expert. A coach is different in that it is a coach's responsibility to listen and to listen deeply and to listen cumulatively and to ask questions. So when we think about a coaching culture, the idea can be oversimplified and say, instead of telling, it means asking. That oversimplification is powerful. It's an incredible insight. So think about this simple example. Imagine a coworker saying to somebody else at work, hey, so-and-so lied to the boss about what actually happened, and they made me look like an idiot. So if the person that individual said it to is a friend, the friend may say something like, oh, wow, you must be so mad at him. If they are a consultant, the response will be along the line of, let me analyze what's happening and I'll give you a plan. Or a mentor will immediately jump in with, well, you should confront the coworker and explain it to your boss. And a coach will ask, what outcome do you want to work towards now? There is value in each of these roles. The friend is someone who understands and supports. The consultant is an expert that has tremendous knowledge and experience in creating a plan. The mentor has wisdom. They've been around for a while. They understand the culture and have solid ideas in terms of how to handle things. A coach is going to ensure that the individual in the circumstances is fully empowered to think it through and make intentional choices about how they want to approach it. ICF, the International Coaching Federation, defines coaching as partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. Imagine incorporating that in the culture. Thought-provoking, creative, inspiring someone else to maximize their own potential. So instead of telling, directing, or advising, it's listening and asking questions. And that becomes a mainstay of how people communicate and how management functions inside of an organization. When you do have a coaching culture, it is perceived as positive and appropriate at all levels in the organization. Coaching has a proven impact on skill development and results. And of course, it's going to increase engagement and motivate higher level of productivity. It's pretty simple. When somebody is told what to do, they're unlikely to follow through. When they are asked what they want or what they want to do, and they figure out their own answer, they own it, and they're more likely to follow through. So a coach is going to ask questions. They're going to ask questions for the clarification of goals, explore options for moving past obstacles, support the creation of action plans, the discovery of opportunities, and ensuring people are empowered for decision-making and action. A coaching culture focuses forward. Instead of being focused on the past or the problem, it's focused on where are we now? Where do we want to go? How are we going to get there? This is congruent with leadership. We used to think about a leader as being somebody who said, hey, it's my way or the highway, take it or leave it. And then that shifted and it became, well, let me tell you what I think and you can tell me how great my idea is. And now in today's world, leaders know that ultimately they will gain the best results, the most loyalty, the greatest dedication, the highest level of engagement, and the highest level of productivity when the people on their team are fully empowered to think it through, figure it out, and take action on it. On top of which, they recognize that it is the people on the front line who truly understand what's happening and what does or does not work in those circumstances. A coaching culture will enhance every piece of what's going on in an organization. It will support positive, productive workplace relationships. It'll enhance customer service and customer support. It'll truly increase the productivity, the longevity of people on the team, and it has a bottom line impact. Let's explore a few examples. So imagine for a moment that an office is going through a change in personnel. And this means they're reassigning who has which duties, they're rearranging the workspace. In a scenario like that, it's pretty easy to imagine each person focused on advocating for their own ideas, telling what they think should happen. When you bring in the coaching culture, it's taking the time to hear from each person, their thoughts, their requests, supporting them, also hearing that from others, and then working with the group so they come to a consensus in terms of how to handle it. And when you work with the group in that process, then they feel empowered, they're motivated, and they fully engage in rearranging the workspace and in taking on different duties. Similarly, imagine coaching in a customer service scenario. Imagine a customer coming in and being really angry about something. Let's do a retail example. Let's say they're really angry about a product they purchased and they're irritated and frustrated and they bring it in and they have demands that are totally unreasonable. Well, without coaching skills, the standard employee is going to say, you know, well, I can't do that. Here's the policy. Alternatively, when they have coaching skills, the employee learns to approach it differently. They may say something like, clearly there's a problem here. I want to address it. Given that I'm unable to do whatever it is that was requested, what I can do is give you the options available and let you choose what works for you. And then give those options and support the customer choosing. Imagine the difference with a customer when, number one, that there is a problem is acknowledged. Number two, the options available are given. And number three, they have choice in terms of which option they want. It's a whole different ballgame. Here's another one. Think about people that do project management. Project managers frequently are in a position of having what we call the responsibility without the authority. They're supposed to make sure things happen. They don't have the authority over people on the project who are doing things. So now you have a person who's a project manager, and let's say they have someone on the team that just really doesn't care about getting their own work done. Explore that with a coaching approach. How does that person view the working relationship? What are the long-term benefits to them of that working relationship? How are you able to help them in their own job or career, in their goals, things they want? What are the benefits to them of completing the work? What approach have you taken in the past? What approach will you take now? And in doing this, the project manager struggling with somebody on the team not fulfilling their part of the work has the opportunity to brainstorm and come up with ideas for how to approach it. Another example, imagine as a parent assigning a chore for a child. And typically as parents, what do? We say, okay, here's what you have to do. Here's your chore. And unfortunately, with many of the kids, it goes in one ear and out the other. Alternatively, when you take that coaching skill, you take that coaching culture into the home, imagine the parent asking the child, okay, what's your understanding of what chores you have? What's your understanding of your timeline? What's your plan for when you're going to do those things and how you're going to do them? And really put that child in charge of figuring out that plan. That makes a whole different scenario, an outcome in the home, and it sets that child up for the long term as well. Another example for you, prior to moving into coaching, one of the things I did was conflict mediation. So there was a couple that had gone through a divorce process. And 5 years later, they had three court cases pending, still fighting over things related to the divorce and child support and child care, et cetera. They had a counselor that was working with them. And the counselor recommended mediation, sent them to me. So they scheduled. And when they came for mediation, they were barely speaking to one another. It took 2 hours of talking about what they wanted and supporting them developing their own plan. As a result, they dropped all three of their court cases. And what's really great about it is a year later, I was talking to that same counselor who shared that they were continuing to communicate effectively and the plan they created was working. And what was really interesting about the plan was that it was essentially the same plan the judge had given them 5 years prior that they had been fighting about. What was different? It was their plan. As soon as it was what they came up with, what they chose, they owned it and they followed through. There's a lot of overlap between mediation and coaching. And very specifically, it is in that a mediator asks questions and ensures that the people involved are choosing their own solutions. That is what we do as coaches. Let's take the coaching culture into the community. Imagine you have a group of volunteers, and these volunteers have lots of expertise, and they're going to work on something, and they all have a different idea of how to do it, and they're all running off in a different direction. And there's duplicated effort and there's conflict over what's going to happen or whose work is going to be used. And now take coaching into that same scenario. And when you have a meeting with all of the volunteers asking the questions, okay, what are all of the different ideas? What are the areas of interest for each person? who wants to take on which piece of it and do it in their way. And simply having them choose what part of the work they're doing and giving them ownership over that part of the work ensures a coordination of efforts, gets rid of that duplication of the work, and supports the camaraderie amongst the volunteers, keeping them fully engaged and working together. Another possibility, whether it's in the community, let's say you have a neighborhood association, or maybe it's a group inside of a company. And let's say you're talking about planning and looking at what the budget is and what it's going to cost and how the money is going to be spent. And everyone has a different idea of what the priorities are for spending the money and planning that budget. So without coaching, you're going to have a debate, if you will, each person advocating their ideas, their thinking. When you bring coaching into that scenario, you begin asking the questions. Hey, what are the different areas of interest for spending? Having the group get involved in voting what the priorities are and choosing what's being done when. Again, you're engaging all of the people involved. What we know from coaching is that it does have a bottom line impact. We know that when people are given the plan, the power is taken away from them. They don't own it. And their level of commitment and engagement and enthusiasm for following through is limited. It assumes that they're not capable of figuring it out for themselves. And it gets in the way of developing them in their own role in creating ownership in terms of them doing the work. When you use a coaching approach, incorporate that coaching culture, you're creating a level of respect for hearing different insights and opinions, exploring possibilities with those, accepting all of those, and then working together to choose which of those they're going to use and work with. It honors everybody based on who they are, their skills, resources, etc., while also ensuring that they're collaborating in terms of the plan, the ownership of it, and the follow through. Coaching means asking what somebody wants or what the group wants or the team wants, supporting them prioritizing the list, having them describe the desired outcome, asking about potential obstacles for moving forward, asking them to brainstorm solutions to those obstacles, having them consider the pros and cons of the different possibilities, and then deciding which of the possibilities, which solution they want, and then consider the possible outcomes when they implement. Ask them about the resources, meaning their skills, different relationships, different logistical resources that they have or want. Ask them their plan of action. Support the follow through by asking what's working, what they want to adjust, and supporting the recognition of progress and success. Coaching is absolutely powerful. Here's another example. Imagine this conversation. We'll name the people Anna and Bill. So Anna says, "Hi, how's work going?" And Bill says, "Okay, I guess. I wish there was an easier way to coordinate everyone's schedule." And Anna says, "Why don't you just tell them the scheduled time and ask them to RSVP? And Bill says, "Oh no, they have to be there. So we have to find a time that works." So then Anna says, "So why don't you plan it on a set schedule?" And Bill says, "Well, with what is happening around here, there's no way that would work. Thanks anyway for the idea." So what's going on? Anna is unaware of the nuances of the situation. The ideas she is putting out are generic in nature. Now let's change it and have Anna take a coaching approach. So imagine starting the conversation the same way. Anna says, hi, how is work going? Bill says, okay, I guess. I wish there was an easier way to coordinate everybody's schedule. And Anna says, how do you do it now? And Bill says, I call each person and check on possible dates or availability. And Anna says, what do you recommend changing? Bill says, I wish I could just talk to them all at once. And Anna says, what are the options for doing that? Bill says, I don't know. This is what I'm told to do. Anna says, if it works better, how will everyone feel about a change? And Bill says, good, I guess. Anna says, what kinds of changes are possible? And Bill says, well, we could schedule the next one when everyone is together in the first place. Anna says, what else? Bill says, I could email everyone simultaneously. And Anna says, what else? Bill says, I could have a calendar everyone can access. And Anna continues that exploration of what the possibilities are and then moves into, what are you going to do? And Bill gets to choose from the different possibilities, which he's going to use and how he's going to use it. And then Anna acknowledges him, says, seems like you really know your stuff. Good idea. And Bill says, thanks. And he's got a plan that he created that he owns and he will follow through on. So instead of telling, it's about asking. The word choice in the asking does make a difference because it sends a very subconscious message. Think about it this way. What do you think you might want to try? Okay, if I ask that question, might, hesitant, doubtful, want to, doesn't mean you're committing to, try, literally an instruction of the human brain, you don't really have to do it. Alternatively, what will you do? Very simple, very direct, and it's truly demonstrating belief in that individual, confidence in them doing it and following through. So the way it is said has an impact, short term and long term. Instead of saying things like might, could, would, should, try, need, change those words to want, will, plan to, commit to, going to. Give the client the choice or the individual you're talking with the choice and have them say it the way that works for them. Think about the difference. If I say to somebody, you should, whatever it is, how do they feel about it? Alternatively, if I say, what are your ideas for doing that? Then they get to figure it out and own it. So the way it is said makes a difference. Another important element of a coaching culture is silence. The irony about silence is so many of us are absolutely uncomfortable with it. We think it has to be filled. There are those that are very comfortable with it and really don't worry about jumping into it. They're okay if it lasts all day. So the question becomes, is silence going to serve the conversation and support the forward progress? An example for this, perhaps you remember the staring game where two people stare at each other and whoever blinks first loses the game. The game of silence, a little bit different intent in terms of the outcome. Here's what happens. If you ask somebody a question, go silent. And then here's what's going to happen. Some people will stay silent because they're thinking inside their head. And if you jump into that silence, you interrupt their thinking. Other people will jump into that silence and think out loud. And if you grab the first thing they say, you kept them from finishing their thinking. They were simply thinking out loud. So whatever works for them, once you ask a question, go silent and hold the space for the other person, whether they want to think in silence or they want to think out loud, give them that opportunity until they're ready to move forward with whatever it is they've thought through. It's a powerful tool. Be comfortable being silent. Listening is a challenge. We think we know this. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. To me, one of the big examples I use is imagine asking other people, do you think people listen well? And most people will say, no, not very well. And then think about this. Most of us say, oh yeah, I'm a pretty good listener. Well, if most people think most other people don't listen well, and most of us think we do listen well, there's a bit of a disconnect there or a gap. So some interesting facts about this. We hear one word in seven. Wow. Only one word in seven. We only remember 25 to 50% of what we hear. And when we're communicating, 7% of the understanding is based on what somebody's saying. This is interesting because 55% is based on visual. Now, what does that tell us? How somebody looks, what they're wearing, their gestures, their body language, and we may or may not have an accurate understanding of that. And yet that's 55% of our understanding. 38% is tone and volume. So the words get lost and the words are powerful. So what do we want to be doing to ensure we really are listening? First off, it starts with the intention. Choose to focus on the speaker with the intent of understanding them. Then rephrase or summarize what they say. Use their key words when you do it and keep it succinct. Reflect any emotions behind it to clarify meaning and understanding. Think about the impact, how this plays out in conversations that you have. When you listen to what somebody else is saying with a focus on understanding them, their thought process, their interests, their influencers, you hear their challenges, you ask them to generate solutions, you hear their options, ask them questions to expand that thinking and perspective and to support them choosing what they're going to do. In addition to the word choice and the listening, coaching questions are a powerful, powerful tool and so incredibly important. The very simple formula for powerful coaching questions is keeping them short, simple, open, and direct. So for example, instead of starting a question with the words, is, any, can, do, will, would, could, all of those are closed questions and very often leading. Coaching questions typically start with one of two words, what or how. Coaching questions are short questions. The shorter the question, the more powerful the question. The irony there is oftentimes the person asking the question is figuring out what they're asking and how they're going to ask it. Or alternatively, they're wanting it to sound intelligent and profound. And the reality is it ends up being very circuitous and difficult to understand. When it's a short, simple, direct question, the other person understands it and simply continues in the flow of the conversation without even having to hesitate or stop to think about that question because it flows so naturally. short, simple, open, direct questions, and you want them focusing forward on what it is people do want in the future and completely open to the possibilities, because it's all about what's going to work for that other person. A coaching culture is also going to recognize several key elements in terms of goal setting. If somebody is in setting their goal, talking about what they don't want, oh, I don't want to be so stressed. I don't want to, you know, have to work so late. I don't want to, whatever it is. They're focused on the problem and what they don't want, and there's no goal. When the focus is on what they want it to be, where they are going, then they're able to set a goal. So an example I've used with people is, imagine going into a travel agent saying, oh, I want to go on vacation, book me a trip. And the travel agent says, great, where do you want to go? If the response is, well, I don't want to go here and I don't want to go there and I don't want to go over there, well, how can the agent book the trip? Alternatively, when the person says, well, I want to go here. Oh, okay. Well, that becomes easy for the agent to do. You've got to know what you want it to be, what you are moving toward. Another key piece in terms of goal setting and a coaching culture is the motivation and the source of that. So in many dysfunctional cultures, the motivation is based on consequences, or it's based on doing it for someone else. Consequences can be things like getting yelled at, or even working toward a raise or a promotion, doing it for someone else. Hey, I'm helping someone else out here. Those are going to get a short-term result. When there is an internal motivator, somebody is doing it because of what it means to them personally, that's where you're going to get the long-term result, the ownership of it. It is equally important in a coaching culture that it is proactive. So instead of waiting for things to happen or somebody else to do something, it's about taking the initiative, figuring out what is possible in terms of action and moving forward, owning that and engaging with it. A coaching culture is a win, win, win. It's a win for the organization. It's a win for the people on the team. It's a win in terms of the bottom line impact. It's a win in the community, and it's a win at home. A coaching culture means recognizing that each person really is their own best expert. And it's believing in them, trusting in them, and supporting them being fully empowered to think it through, make their choices, take action, and follow through. Best wishes to you in supporting that coaching culture. Make it a great one. I'm Kathy at the Center for Coaching Certification. Come visit us at www.coachcert.com.